It's not about the speaker in the pulpit. It's about the condition of your heart. If you're really hungry for me, I will feed you. If we're going to go deeper in Jesus and further in mission, we need to walk in humility. The second step that we see in this is how much you love your neighbor is an indicator of how much you love God. You see, this priest was not only arrogant, but he was actually unaware. He didn't really even know the condition of his heart. You see, loving God wasn't evidenced in how much of the Bible he knew or all the rules he was keeping. Loving God was evidenced in how much love he had for his neighbors. Did he even care about this poor guy on the street? I remember a time in my life where I was asking the Lord to increase my love for the lost. Dangerous prayer to pray, okay? So I prayed this prayer. And it happened I was part of what's called the District Executive Committee in our district. And we had some meetings in October at a cottage somewhere north Ontario. And so after one of our meetings, we all decided, a bunch of us, we were going to go jogging. And I was the only woman in this meeting, a bunch of guys. So, of course, they could run a bit faster than I could. So we all went out jogging and they took off and I just kept going. And you know, of course, they came back before I did, and all of a sudden, I was out there, and I couldn't find my way home. It was October. It was about 5 o'clock at night, so there's not a lot of cottagers out there. And the scary thing was, I didn't know the address of this cottage. I didn't know the names of the people that lived there. I knew nothing. And I'm out on this road running, and there is nobody around at all. No cars, no people. And I'm starting to remember the stories of these guys that we'd been meeting with. They were trying to scare me that there were bears in the woods and tell me, you know, if a bear comes after you, you're supposed to run down the hill because a bear can't run. I don't think that's true, but that's what they were telling me. And all of a sudden, I was desperate, and it was getting darker. And I was crying out to the Lord, Lord, please help them to wake up and know that I'm missing. That was my big prayer. That was my only hope, is that I thought maybe they love me and care about me, so they will at least, you know, come looking for me when they realize I'm missing. And, you know, I don't know how they did this, but they started to have their meal and have their dinner, and I wasn't there. And then they said, oh, go, you know, I had kind of an upstairs suite, and so someone said, go up and knock on her door. So they knocked on their door, no answer. Go in. And they're like, I'm not going to go in. What if she, like, they were all freaked out. What if she's changing? And so they open the door, nobody's there. Someone else says, well, go in the bathroom. Maybe she's having a shower. I'm not doing that. Like, and so they're all freaking out, afraid of what their own reputation. And here I'm missing. And finally they clue in that I'm gone, and they get in a van and come looking for me. And I'm out on this road, and I'm starting to concoct this plan that, well, okay, if it goes dark, I'm going to break into this cottage over here. And all of a sudden, a car comes up. They're total strangers. I don't know them, but I'm so desperate, I get in the car with them. All of a sudden, unfortunately, the van comes, and I find my people. You know, God has put all of his eggs in our basket. It is time for us to wake up to the fact that the people around us are lost and need him. Do we even care? This priest didn't care. He knew his book. He spent his time in the temple. But when it came to the guy that needed him, he was nowhere to be found. But you see, there's only one way that I'm going to come into an awareness, a new love for the lost. And that's to realize first how much I need God's love. You see, it's so interesting in this passage. The scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. You must receive God's love for yourself before you can give it away to others. You see, the Samaritan knew what it was like to be rejected and hated and probably had stones thrown at him. And who knows, maybe he had also been robbed. And so when he sees someone on the side of the road, he stops because he's known the love of God. Jesus specifically picks the Samaritan. You see, God's love has to flow into us to awaken us to our need before we actually become people that care. Because you see, if I don't kind of flow and reach out to other people being very aware that God has helped me first, then my service is really all about me trying to feel better about myself or get better in God's kingdom. And this priest had it all wrong. You see, in some ways, there's kind of like a hidden plot in this story. There's the story of the Good Samaritan reaching out to the lost person. But in some ways, I believe that this priest himself is so unaware of the own condition of his heart that he is like walking past his own brokenness. It's almost like he's the man lying on the road that desperately needs the Good Samaritan, and the Good Samaritan is Jesus. How many of us are so busy? We don't have time to tend to our hearts. We don't have time to deal with some of the junk and the garbage that's inside of us that's blocking us from being able to become more effective, not only in our walk, but being able to love the Lord Jesus. One of the biggest obstacles to a vibrant walk with God is for me to be unaware of my own brokenness and not respond. In our district, God has been really stirring us to begin to provide things called deeper life modules where people can have a safe place to deal with some of their stuff. Some of the stuff that's in the closet that we never talk about. Jesus isn't looking for us just to be showing up on Sunday and looking good. He wants us to come into the light so that we can get free from some of the wounds and the things that are struggling, that we're struggling with. And once we begin to become aware of how much God loves us in our mess, then we become confident to reach out to other people in their mess. You see, if I don't really believe Jesus can help me with my fears and my struggles, then how am I going to reach out to the person in the cubicle next to me at work who's struggling with fear, with confidence? And so as we begin to step forward in openness and humility to deal with our own stuff, then God begins to open our eyes to the people that are right immediately in our context. You see, there are broken and needy people in your immediate pathway. The word neighbor means nearby. In fact, this story of the Good Samaritan, it was a typical journey for a priest to go from Jericho to Jerusalem. That was a typical commute. That was like some of you going from Richmond Hill to down GTA, downtown Toronto, every day. That was your normal commute. And it's even possible that Jesus might have even been giving like a prophetic word here that maybe this actual event had happened to this priest a week or two earlier where he had literally walked by someone and Jesus is just sharing it as a story. Who are the people in your everyday life that you walk right by? A friend of mine was a missionary in Russia, and she's just recently written a book, and she's asked me to endorse it. And I was reading one of these stories, and it was basically about this woman called Christabel. Christabel was an African student, 20 years old, from Cameroon, and she was studying in Russia in a university. And my friend, one day they had a YWAM team come to do some short-term missions in Russia. And on one of their journeys, they were on the bus going to their missionary's home where they were supposed to go. And this one guy, he saw Christabel, this little African who he didn't know, just sitting on the bus with her face up against the window looking quite sad. And so he went over to talk to her and he goes, "Are you a Christian?" Probably not a great first liner, just telling you, but "Are you a Christian?" And talked with her a little bit. And then he said, "I feel like God is saying I should give you some money." And he tries to give her 20 bucks. And she says, "No, I don't want 20 bucks." Her father had taught her, "Don't take money from strangers." And then he says this to her. He says, "Well, we are going on our way to stay at a missionary's house. And you are welcome to join us if you want to." And so she says, "Of course, I will go." Now that sounds a bit bizarre. But let me give you the backdrop of Christabel's story. 2 years earlier, Christabel's only sister had died. She was deeply grieving. And then her father was dying in Africa. And the last thing he said to her was this: "I am praying that God will bring a missionary into your life to help you." And Christabel, she had run out of money. And the final breaking point for her, she didn't have food. The final breaking point for her was she had these boots in the middle of winter. A Russian winter had holes in the boots. Her toes were freezing. And she was like, enough of this. And on that bus, she was on the way to get some vodka to kind of shut down her feelings or whatever. And then her plan was to jump off the seventh floor of her dorm window, or out of the window. And here's this YWAMer, the Good Samaritan, just coming up just because God nudged him. You see, the call to love your neighbor doesn't start when you sign up for a mission trip. It might. But it actually starts tomorrow morning on your commute. You're walking in your neighborhood. What's one of the first things, one of the ways to move forward in this is, first of all, ask God to fill your heart with love for people before you reach out. I'll never forget being on an airplane and sitting next to a woman who happened to be a makeup artist for a bunch of actors, and we started talking, and numerous times God has said to me, "Don't tell them about me right away. You wait. You listen." And so I was listening and listening, and God had recently said to me, "Don't share me with people you don't feel love for. Evangelism is not some kind of project." And so I held back, and she started sharing her story. In the middle of the flight, she fell asleep, and I was sitting there, and I looked over at her, and I just felt God fill me with love for her. And when she woke up, we had this amazing conversation. God wants to fill our hearts with love for the people around us. Can I encourage you tomorrow morning when you get on the GO train, put your phone down, turn it off, and just sit there and say, "Lord, open my eyes, give me love for these people that I'm connecting with." Maybe you need to get to your office a few minutes early and just quietly walk around and just say, "Lord, what do you want to do? What part of your kingdom are you building in this place today?" And one of the ways that we prepare is that we carry our daily supply of oil and wine wherever we go. See, for this Good Samaritan, his oil and wine was like his first aid kit. Oil was used as a healing balm. Wine was used for the cleansing of the wound, and oil was used like for the refreshing and the healing. The wine for us is the blood of Christ. Cleanses us. We need to walk in our own cleansing, our own holiness, walking and asking the Lord to cleanse us and deal with our own sins so that we can become holy in Christ. God is calling us to move away from judgment and into mercy. Our world is getting very strange where everything is being reconfigured. It's very easy for us in the church to begin judging people instead of reaching out in mercy. The oil, I believe, is a presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. In that story of the Y-whammer, it's just this gentle little nudge that he recognized as God's voice and he stepped into it. One of the things that we're doing is setting up an online Deeper Life course on how to hear God's voice. I've got a sign-up sheet after the service if some of you are interested. It's a free course we're piloting and we'll be launching it in the middle of October. There's a Holy Spirit encounter coming up, one the end of October for all of our Chinese churches. There's one at Rexdale in September. Because, brothers and sisters, we need to go deeper in Jesus. We need to come and meet him in a new and fresh way. And as we reach out and as we ask God to help us become more aware and grow a love in our heart for the lost, we also need to be prepared to pay a price. I love the story of the story of the Thai boys that were rescued. You notice how they sent two in to rescue one, and one's even carrying the oxygen tank for the other. Are we willing to go out of our way in our busy schedule? Maybe it's you're driving to work and you know there's someone who's having a car breakdown at the side of the road. Some of these things, we're so based living in fear that we don't even think or acknowledge of other people. And then what I love about this story is that the Good Samaritan doesn't park his life and all of a sudden just become all consumed with the guy that's on the road. He helps him out. He does what he can. You see, the thing that often keeps me from reaching out to a Christabel on the bus is I'm so afraid, well, I can't fix them. They can't come live with me. And that's not what God is asking us. God is just asking us to do the next little thing. And so we see there's a pattern in Scripture here of setting godly boundaries in your caregiving. The beauty of Jesus' instructions, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Recently, I was at a prayer meeting included a number of different people. We were praying for Canada. And we took some time to listen and ask the Lord, are there any pictures that you want to give us of what you're doing in the church in Canada? And this one woman from one of the churches said, I just need to share this picture that God has been giving us. And it's like the Spirit of God deeply is within our churches and within us, and he's wanting to come up, and there's little puddles and little pools that are starting to come up, and God is desiring that we begin to move together, and the flow of the Spirit is going to increase, that there's going to be a flood of God's presence and power that we can't control. And another person said, we had that same picture. And there was a sense of agreement in the room from different parts of the body of Christ that God was saying to us, this is what I want to do. And the question that I want to ask you this morning is, will you invite God's Spirit to drill down into your life? See, Jesus said to the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan woman, he said to her, there is a well that's going to rise up in you. The Spirit of God lives in you if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. But does he have freedom to turn you into a well of living water so that others could come and drink from your walk with God, from your communion with him? Just going to ask you to close your eyes. Let's just move into just a response time. What is God saying to you this morning? How hungry are you for him? How open are you for God to soften your heart? The starting place is to step out in humility. I'm just going to ask you right now, if God has been speaking to you and you want to go deeper in Jesus and further in mission, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. And I want to pray for you. There's no pressure. Nobody's looking on. But if God has been speaking, just encourage you to stand. We're not going to linger here long. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, you put the call out to us to go deeper. You want us to go deeper. So, Father, thank you for those that have stood. And I ask, Spirit of the living God, that you would come and that this week afresh, that you would meet them in a way that they would know that because they are drawing near to you, you are drawing near to them. Lord Jesus, we want to be fully surrendered to the cause of Christ. Would you help us? Would you help us to be more like the Good Samaritan than the priest? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for the message. Just as we continue in time of response, I'd like to invite you all to, we'll be singing the cause of Christ as a response. And again, as I did before, I'd like to encourage you to just sing this as your prayer. I'll stand.
The only thing I want in life is to be known.